The tall Talib with the black sunglasses walked to the pile of stones they had unloaded from the third truck. He picked up a rock and showed it to the crowd. The noise fell, replaced by a buzzing sound that rippled through the stadium. I looked around me and saw that everyone was tsking. The Talib, looking absurdly like a baseball pitcher on the mound, hurled a stone at the blindfolded man in the hole. It struck the side of his head. The woman screamed again. The crowd made a startled, "Oh!" sound. I closed my eyes and covered my face with my hands. The spectators, "Oh!" rhymed with each flinging of the stone, and that went on for a while. When they stopped, I asked Farid if it was over. He said no. I guess the people's throats had tired. I don't know how much longer I sat with my face in my hands. I know that I reopened my eyes when I heard people around me asking, "Mort? Mort? Is he dead?" The man in the hole was now a mangled mess of blood and shredded rags. His head slumped forward, chin on chest. The Talib in the John Lennon sunglasses was looking down at another man squatting next to the hole, tossing a rock up and down in his hand. The squatting man had one end of a stethoscope to his ears and the other pressed on the chest of the man in the hole. He removed the stethoscope from his ears and shook his head no at the Talib in the sunglasses. The crowd moaned. John Lennon walked back to the mound. When it was all over, when the bloodied corpses had been unceremoniously tossed into the backs of red pickup trucks, separate ones, a few men with shovels hurriedly filled the holes. One of them made a passing attempt at covering up the large bloodstains by kicking dirt over them. A few minutes later, the teams took the field. Second half was underway. Our meeting was arranged for 3 o'clock that afternoon. The swiftness with which the appointment was set surprised me. I had expected delays, a round of questioning at least, perhaps a check of our papers. But I was reminded of how unofficial even official matters still were in Afghanistan. All Farid had to do was tell one of the whip-carrying Talibs that we had personal business to discuss with the man in white. Farid and he exchanged words. The guy with the whip then nodded and shouted something in Pashto to a young man on the field, who ran to the south end goalposts where the Talib in the sunglasses was chatting with the plump cleric who had given the sermon. The three spoke. I saw the guy in the sunglasses look up. He nodded, said something in the messenger's ear. The young man relayed the message back to us. It was set then, 3 o'clock.